We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, in the month of December. I thought I better get on something to do with Christmas, something to do with the incarnation of the Lord. And so shifting gears a little bit here, Luke chapter 2, and I'd like to bring a message tonight, peace on earth and the peace that we can have as children of God. It's a wonderful gift that God's given to all of us. But notice here, Luke chapter 2, it says in verse number 10, go there. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. You folks know this, I'm sure, very well. You've read it many times throughout your life, and the kids have probably done a play or two with it or done some kind of special with it in the church. And so you know it quite well, but I just want to concentrate tonight on peace on earth. People say, well, how come there's not peace on earth? It's been promised by the angels. We're missing the first part. You cannot have peace on earth until you have glory to God in the highest. And we said this morning about that America has turned their back on God and said, no, we won't glorify God in the schools or even a lot of churches or in the public buildings and our government facility. We won't glorify God. And therefore, there is no peace on earth. We know that. And so understanding this tonight, again, I want to just ask a few questions. Do you have peace, the peace of God in your life? God has promised us peace, the peace that can come to the child of God. Now, our hope, you know, is built upon the promises of God. We know that 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. And so understanding that we have peace and we can have inner peace. The world today is looking for peace. They're looking for that center, you know, and a lot of the Eastern mysticism is about centering themselves, right? And getting into a place where they should be. That comes back to, again, anti-unbiblical thinking. We have the peace of God. Now, the promise of having all our needs met day to day is, we know, given by God. The Lord's promised peace to us in this present evil world. So many people are looking for peace today, aren't they? And they're looking for it through different avenues and other things. And how can I find peace in my life and in this world? The unrest that's around us, the desire for more, the people that cannot stand, hardly stand it. They want more and more, and they do not have peace. Now, the word peace, you may know this, appears 429 times in our Bible. 429 times. I think the Lord's trying to tell us something, don't you? But have peace. Now again, do you have peace tonight? The peace of God that brings and passes understanding, he says. We know Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. A lot of times my peace is disrupted and interrupted because my mind's not stayed on him. You that way? You get sidetracked with something? Kids, you get sidetracked with other things, don't you, like me? And certain things come up and you think about it and you just off course, off base with the things of God. We get back to the center. I shouldn't say the word center because I just talked about it. We should come back to the Lord. We say, Lord, I desire your peace. Well, he's promised it. He says, you'll keep him in perfect peace. Your mind stayed on thee. Now, our text here again is of those angels that come. And they are speaking, in particular, to those shepherds, aren't they? These men were out shepherding their sheep and doing their thing and fulfilling their duty. I can't imagine. These guys worked the night shift. Anyone ever worked a night shift before? All of you have, okay. And you think it messes up your mind, doesn't it? I mean, it plays with your mind. It messes you up. These men were out doing their thing and fulfilling their duty. And can you imagine they saw that in bright light, almost, if you will, that star, all those things, the angels come. They're thinking, man, I'm having a bad dream. I'm having a trip. Man, something's wrong with me. We need to get some sleep, Buster. And no, they said, whoa, came to. And there's a specific message that comes, and we see it. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes, you know that. Again, swaddling clothes were for the dead. They would wrap dead bodies in swaddling clothes. And a wonderful picture of that, what? Christ was born to die, wasn't he? Since the beginning, he was born to die. And I can't imagine all of that being apparent, but you think about it. Now, that will keep him in perfect peace. Philippians 4, verse 4, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Lord is at hand. And then he says, be careful for nothing. Let everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love that. In the Bible, the word keep and peace are always together, it seems like. Why? Because we're always losing peace somewhere. We're always letting it drift. The world pushes on us an unpeace, right? An unrest, if I could say. Something of that nature. And I would encourage you this holiday season, especially as you travel or whatever the case would be, make sure your family members see the peace of God in your life, in your face, in your demeanor, in your attitude, you know, and they see it and they know it. You be an example to those. You be a shining example as best you can with the Lord's help. The peace of God. We live today, you know, in a world that knows very little about true peace. They have temporal peace. We have eternal. There's turmoil within the nations. It's a producing uprising, revolts. We know that, wars, all kinds of things that we talked a little bit about today, but there's violence and chaos in our streets. There's strife, confusion in many homes. Husband and wives are not at peace with each other. Children and parents quarrel and fight instead of respecting each other, finding harmony in the home. There's often strife and discord at your workplace. There's a great need today for what we call peace, right? Peace. We need it. We have to have it. And these angels say, peace on earth. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Are you glorifying God in your life? A couple things. The word peace, Hebrew word, you know, shalom. It's translated well, welfare, prosperity, safety, health, peaceable. It means to be soundness and body, mind, health, prosperity, tranquility, contentment, friendship of contentment in friendships and other things, especially with our Lord. But just some things here to think about. This is what he means. The Greek word for peace that we find here means rest and quietness, national peace, state of national tranquility. Personal peace is that peace between individuals, produces harmony and all these things. Just some brief definitions. Christian peace, though, is that tranquil state of soul who is assured of salvation through Jesus Christ, which comes because he fears nothing from God and is content with his earthly lot. I like that. Now, this is available to us. In Psalm 29, we know the Lord will give us strength, give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Peace is a blessing from our God. And you go to any other religion, quote unquote, in the world, and you find they don't have that. You think about, they don't have peace. It's a gift from God. They're constantly working at and trying to work at that which, what, brings about peace. The women in other cultures, especially, are always trying to work at, trying to get the peace between or from the man or the husband. From the husband then to, and from his God, from his idol. This is what they're going after. You think about it. You go to another country. Some of you have traveled before, but you see this and know peace is from God. Do you have peace? Couple things. Are you at peace with God? Number two, are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with yourself? Do you have peace? Is there peace in the home? Is there peace with other people? Does it rule your heart as Paul encouraged the church? And we know that. Now what disturbs some things? Let me say a couple things. We need to make peace with God. Again, can I say, anybody listening or whatever the case would be, maybe somebody here does not know the Lord, you have to make peace with God. You've got to. You've got to. The old cowboy movies, right, would often say, make peace. Peace with your maker. You better make sure of that. The old peacemaker was the old Colt 45, wasn't it? You think about the peace. Do you have peace with your God, with the God? Did God say anything? Yes. What did he say? Okay. And did he say anything to me as a human being? Yes. And you better find that out quick. And figure out what he said and find out quicker than that what he said to you as an individual. I've got to know. I better find that out. And we see that. Isaiah 57, 22, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. None. The wicked have temporal peace. They struggle. They're depressed. They're lonely. They're wretched. Romans 3, 17. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. True peace begins by making peace with our God. We begin to experience the peace of God. No, we've talked about that before. The peace of God and the peace with God. I won't go into detail there. But we are by nature God's enemies. Jesus Christ is our mediator. The main emphasis, you know, of the incarnation of Christ is that what? He would abolish the enmity between you and between your righteous and holy God, right? That's it. Between God and you. Vast enmity, Ephesians 2. And we know it. He is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. As we said this morning in 1 John 2, he says, he that denies Jesus Christ is an antichrist. He's denying the only mediator between a holy God and a sinful man. And that's a very, very, very bad thing. I was talking with Brother Eric out there today, and he was telling me about some of the people that he listens to and reads and other things, and he was the first to say, well, these people have turned from the faith. They used to be good, now they turned from the faith. And I was trying to encourage him with that as well, that you note these people, they've gone from the faith. The first thing they do is water down Jesus Christ, don't they? He's not so special. He was just a good teacher. Well, what are they doing? It's an ecumenical mindset, trying to blend everyone together. Don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Want to be tolerant. Jesus Christ is our mediator. These angels came and said, listen, praise God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, peace. You may have done some research, and I won't belabor this point, but you may have done some research of the times of that were historical times, history right here at this time. Tremendous unrest in the world, tremendous. The Roman government was wreaking havoc upon all most of earth and all kinds of issues, all kinds of issues. Problem after problem. It was wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of issues. And he comes, the angels come and say, peace on earth. We need peace. Not a false peace, but a peace. A peace. And by the way, quit running to things that are temporary peace for you and for me. Preaching to myself. Right? Things that are temporary peace givers. Things that give you peace. Just stop going to those things. Come to the Bible. Stop wasting your time with those things that, right? Give temporary peace. Yeah, it feels good. And yeah, it lifts your spirit, gives you a little, maybe a little boost, whatever it is. But come back to the Bible because it's eternal peace. It's settled peace. Jesus Christ, our mediator. We receive peace with God. We believe Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our only access. You folks know these things, but I must mention it. You know that scripturally about the peace of God. It comes only through Jesus Christ. You need the Savior tonight. You need Him. He's the only answer. He's the only answer. So, secondly, then, determine what is disturbing the peace of God in your life. Now, this is for us believers. What's disturbing the peace in your life? What's causing you to have unrest in your heart? Is it fear? 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There's fear. People have fear today. Fear of the future, fear of the economy, fear of those in authority. You know that. We talked about our government authorities. Fear of disease, fear of death. So many people are fearful, aren't they? They're fearful today. And we ought to walk around not with a blatant disregard of things, of never going to die type of attitude, or if I die, who cares? No, we have peace with God. We don't fear things. We don't fear death, but we don't walk around foolishly. Now, Hebrews 2:15, he says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. People are fearful of death, fearful and scared of those things, of what's going to happen, of what's coming in the days ahead, what's going to happen in the near future, what's going to happen to our city, what's going to happen to our church, what's going to happen to your health. Is it fear? Don't take that. Don't allow that to disturb your peace. Use it. Come back to God. Let me say, is it anger? Frustration? Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Man of wicked devices is hated. Angry man stirreth up strife. Proverbs 29:22. We go through and see these things. Anger can disturb the peace that God is seeking to give you. Is it envy? Proverbs 14 speaks to that. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Envy the rottenness of the bones. Envy. You don't like what you have. I've been there. I'm there often. I don't like what I have. I want more, right? I want more things. I want more toys. I want more Legos. I want more stuff, right? I want more cars. I want more money. And are you content with those things? Envy. What are you fearful of? Is it disturbing your peace with God? There's many things we could say tonight. Many things. What's disturbing it? As we come through, you know that Joseph, again, was fearful. Fearful. Notice again in our text, verse 16. They came with haste, found Mary, Joseph and the babe, lying in a manger. They had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We know Mary and Joseph were just human beings. They were scared to death. I mean, it's scary enough to see a child born in a hospital that's sanitized, the professionals around you. Can you imagine in that manger, in that scene, being alone and all the things that come with that? They had peace, though. They had peace. They didn't allow it. You know Joseph. He didn't allow it to disturb his peace. He didn't allow the circumstances around him to disturb his peace. Mary didn't allow the circumstances. She was labeled a you-know-what by the people. Joseph was labeled a you-know-what. They thought they were immoral. They believed that they messed up. They believed that they weren't right with God. And God yet was using them. And these individuals did not allow the things around them, the circumstances, situations, to disturb their peace. Abraham went out. Genesis chapter 12, his family thought he was crazy. Moses came back to the place where he never wanted to come back to again, thought he was crazy. Joseph, again, Joshua, all these characters in Scripture we could think about, yet they had the peace of God. They did not allow the people, circumstances, situations around them to disturb that. The only way to do that today for you and me, you know that, is to be in the Word of God. Study the Word. Sound like a broken record. I know that. Got to be in the Word. We've got to understand it. Now let me say thirdly here, correct the disturbance in your life, my life. Peace is a byproduct of righteousness. Righteousness. Psalm 85:10, he says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You do right, you have peace, right? You do right. Driving today from church this morning, there was the sheriff sitting there. And I was a good boy this time. I was good. But you do what's right. And I thought, hey, wait, everything's good to go. I don't have nothing to fear. You know. And then he as soon as I passed, he pulled out. And I went, oh, come on. But he went the other way. So, and you're doing right. Kids, right? You do right. You don't got to fear daddy getting out the belt. Right? You have peace. Now we come back to peace is a byproduct of righteousness. Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. That's Isaiah 32:17. That's a good verse. The work of righteousness shall be peace. People have such unrest in their lives because they're living ungodly lives, aren't they? Ungodly. Wicked, immoral lives. They have no peace when they put their head down on the pillow at night. They struggle, they fear, they don't have anything that the Bible says we should have. And I'm talking about Christians, people that are saved, living an immoral, ungodly lifestyle. They have no peace, and they wonder why. And yet we see the flip side of that. People that live in the most maybe horrific conditions have the worst diseases, and yet they live righteously, they know the Lord, and they have peace, don't they? Peace is a byproduct of righteousness. Peace with God is based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The peace of God is based upon our righteousness, isn't it? The peace with God is upon Jesus, His righteousness, the imputed righteousness that's spoken about in Romans 4. But the peace of God is based on our righteousness. We've got to do something. Since peace with God is based upon the righteousness of Jesus, that peace cannot be disturbed. However, we know the peace of God in our hearts is based on our righteousness. It is fragile, can be lost in a moment of carelessness. If you choose to disobey God, you lose the peace of God in your heart. This does not affect your salvation, but does affect your joy and happiness now. Again, we are to be joyful people. Peace I leave with you, right? Jesus said, I go away, fellas, but I'm leaving you with peace. I'm leaving you with joy. And thank you for listening so well tonight. We think about peace comes when we think right, when we do right. That would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Romans 8, 6 goes with that, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded. Learn truth. Learn to love truth. John 8, 32, we said this morning, ye shall know the truth shall make you free. John 16, 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And then you know Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Nothing. When you know the Bible, when you have the Bible, when you're meditating on the Bible, nothing shall offend you. Things will hurt, people will hurt, but you don't take the offense to those things. You move on. Learn to walk in truth. Learn to love the truth. Realize wrong actions begin with wrong thoughts. So all starts with the thoughts. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. Submit your thoughts to Jesus Christ. Again, we said that in the book of James, submit yourself to him, right? Submit yourself. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. The devil works, as we said a few weeks ago, on the mind, doesn't he? Works on the mind, trying to get the mind distorted, the mind perverted, the mind skewed, however you want to say it. We come back to the Bible. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing the captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. That's a good one to memorize. Obedience of Christ. Refuse to entertain wrong thoughts about God, wrong thoughts about people. Spend time thinking about God. Spend time thinking about Christ. And those thoughts enter in your mind. You have the power to change that. People say, oh, you can't change the thoughts. Yes, you can. Now, they'll enter in, but you have the power to do something with it. Right? Don't meditate on it. Don't think and sit there and sulk on it. Get rid of it. Cast down the imaginations, he says. Brings into captivity. Discipline your mind to think good thoughts. And let me wrap it up here, last point. Focus your thoughts on the Word of God. The peace of God is waiting. You can have it. You can have it. Psalm 1, you know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bring forth his fruit in his season. Leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. Well, great peace. Great peace. Be content with what you have. He says that. You have peace. Our world today, as we said today in Isaiah 5, is always looking for more, 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 right? They're covetous. They're looking for more. They want more. They want always want something more, something extra, just a little bit more on top. We have contentment with what we have, right? We have the peace of God. Hebrews 13, 5. And let me wrap it up. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. He hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm with you. That's all that you need. When there's peace inside, we can weather the storm. When there's peace inside, we can endure the storm, no matter how rough it is outside. Do you have peace with God? Those fellows were on the ship one day with Jesus. Jesus was down in the bottom sleeping. Storm arose, and the Bible says it was a great storm. These men had been on the water their entire lives, so they had seen many, many storms. So this storm must have been a pretty big storm if they got scared. I mean, they were fearing for their lives. They came down, and what did they say to Jesus? Jesus, dost thou not care? We're about to die, and you don't even care. You're not even waking up. You're not doing it. You ever feel that way sometimes? Lord, are you there? Are you there? And they come, well, Jesus comes up, and he says what? Peace be still, right? I woke up some of the kids in the back. Peace be still, right?
peace.
What happened? Everything just zip. I believe in an instant. I don't know about you. I don't think it was all the waves kind of, I think it was instant. And peace, be still. What happened? They learned a valuable lesson that day, didn't they? Said what? Man, there's a storm outside. Everything's falling apart. Everything's going to you know where in a handbasket. Everything's going bad. Not doing good. Relationships aren't right. Feel like everything's falling apart. But you have Jesus with you in the ship, in the boat. You'll be fine. You say, you know what? Not one of those disciples stood up and said, you know what, guys? Jesus is with us. I think we'll be fine. No, they were all scared. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? No, we stand up and say, Lord, you're with us. We know that. Therefore, there's peace. There's peace. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Hopefully, we'll be able to continue looking at this next week. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You cannot have peace on earth until you glorify God. You put Jesus Christ in his rightful place of who he is. And people today, Christian people, there's no peace in the home. There's no peace in the church. There's no peace in their lives because they do not glorify God and put him in his rightful place. Put Jesus Christ in his rightful place where he deserves. Do you have peace tonight? Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have peace with him? And do you have the peace of God? I hope you do. But thank you for listening. And I hope you go this week encouraged by this to think about. And this whole month of December, that we have a Lord that cared enough about us to give his only begotten Son, that great incarnation, for our sins, that we can have a relationship with him. What a wonderful time. Share the gospel with those around you. Invite people. And to use this opportunity in this month, again, like I said, to reach other people. As they're thinking about Jesus, they're thinking about the manger, they're thinking about O Holy Night, they're thinking about all of that, right? Emmanuel, God being with us. Use that, right? Do you have peace tonight? I hope you do. God bless you. All right. Lord, thank you so much again and praising you for your goodness, your grace, and your help. As we think about, Lord, without you coming to this earth, we would be on our way, Lord, at this very moment. Without any help, we'd be hell-bound people. We thank you that we have a wonderful Savior. And people out there today, they have a choice to come to. And we ask that you'd help us this month, especially this season, to reach out to the people that are already saved. Lord, help us to be an example. And to the people that are not saved, to obviously reach them with the gospel. Share the wonderful hope that we have. And we ask for that. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son to this earth that we can have our salvation. We can have peace with you, Lord, and the peace of you. We love you and thank you, God. All that you're doing, bless our church. Bless us now this week. Protect us. In Jesus' name, we do pray all of this. And amen. Amen. Thank you.